are. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for you are God. Even as such right now, Lord, we bring ourselves to you. And we ask that in the name of your Son, Lord, you would do a work in our midst today. We, O God, are thankful for our mothers, our sisters, our wives, and a person called a woman. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you've given to the world in the person of a woman. We want to thank you, Lord, that even as we bring your word this morning, Holy Spirit, take over. In the name of Jesus, I pray for strength to deliver your word even as you have given it. And I thank you that you stand glorified and you stand exalted in Jesus' name. And I believe in church, say amen.
Amen.
This morning, we continue our conversation on life's vision and destiny. Life's vision and destiny. And it is important we understand the place of vision for fulfillment here on earth. It is important we understand that without vision, the people perish. In other words, the strength of continuity in life is tied to your vision, to your life's vision. We have defined life vision to be that particular and peculiar assignment for which God has allowed you to be alive in the land of the living. That there is something only you has been born to do. Something only you has been created to achieve and to change. Something only you, even if you are identical twin, that only you, by God's design, by God's economy, is called to do it. And it is important you recognize that your life vision is the compass to your destiny. Without understanding your life vision, you cannot fulfill your destiny. Destiny is not only the ultimate realization of your vision, but also that which makes you distinctive in life. That which distinguishes you between you and every other person. It is the predetermined outcome of your life that requires your responsibility, that requires your acceptance, that requires your pursuit of it. I want to say that again. It requires your responsibility, it requires your acceptance, and it requires your pursuit of it. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning has a destiny. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning has a life vision. The challenge is, do I know what my life's vision is? Am I living in it? It is unfortunate that life comes to us in so many ways that sometimes we lose track. We lose focus. And we begin to pursue things that does not reflect or are in accordance with our life's vision. I know today is Mother's Day. And somehow I'm going to use a woman to illustrate the power of your life vision. What is it that you stand to change when you begin to live out your life vision? What is it that you stand to accomplish when you begin to live out your life vision? It is important that we stop wanting to be like any other person. It is important that we can, that we can be inspired by people, but never you want to be like anybody. Because God has made you unique. God has made you special. God has made you with all that you need to fulfill your life's vision. You may be inspired by people. You may be encouraged by people. You may even be warned by the failures of others. But never you want to be like anybody. Because nobody is like you. You are one in none. Uh-huh. Amen? Amen? Not one in a million. That means there is somebody who may be there who looks like you, but God has made you unique. So this morning, even as we speak to our mothers and speak to ourselves, we must realize that there is something unique about us. And Thursday, our sister shared out of her experiences. And shared that how out of those experiences in this season of her life, she's beginning to walk and step into her life vision. She's beginning to find that the thing the enemy had worked out for evil, or whatever the choices he made in the past, have become an instrument of glory in the hands of God. So you need to recognize that even if you are not there today, if you can hold on to God, if you can keep on believing, if you can listen to the right voice, if you can come to the place of humility and surrendering, you will realize that there is greatness in you and no power in hell can stop you. Somebody shout a believing hallelujah. So we have a life vision, each one of us. Each one of us. We are unique. And our assignments are unique. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are unique. And our assignment is unique. Hallelujah. Our life's vision is what speaks truth to our passion. When I understand what my life vision is, that is what speaks truth to my passion. It becomes the igniter of my passion. It ignites my passion. When you see someone who is passionless in life, the person have no life vision. When you come to the place where darkness engulfs you to the point where you can look up, you have given up to your life vision. This morning I said to you in the name of the Lord, arise. Arise and recognize that there is something that is unique about your life. The book of Esther, the 4th chapter. Esther chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1, and I'm going to use Esther as our life illustration or our point of reference this morning. Not just because she is a woman, but because her circumstances speak truth to the very issue that we are dealing today. Your life vision and your destiny. It is important that we come to that truth. We come to that recognition. It is important. Don't leave this Sunday just feeling good about the food you're going to eat and the gifts you get, but come to the realization that actually my life counts. My life vision is important to God. The Bible says in verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on scar clothes with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with scar cloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in scarecloths and ashes. So Esther's maid and her chamberlain came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, emotional response. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his scarecloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hachi, one of the king's chamberlain, who he had appointed to attend unto her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hachi went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him a copy of the writings of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to desire it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. 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 And Hachai came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hachai and said, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, but you're not just a woman, shall come unto the king's into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him or her to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to the king. I have not been called to come in unto the king for 30 days now. Hallelujah. And they told Mordecai what Esther's word was, and Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if you would hold your peace at this time, then there shall come deliverance and enlargement unto the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who know whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Somebody shout hallelujah. One of the mysteries of God is revealed in the nature and the character of the life of Esther. Esther is an epitome of many of us. She epitomizes what our life looks like. The only lineage story we know of her is that her parents were not alive, and that she was raised by her uncle, Mordecai. Hallelujah. The Bible didn't give details of the struggles of her growth, but I think she had struggles. Because in those days, to be an orphan child and be raised by another, no matter how close you are with that person, the sense of loss of identity is always prevalent in your mind. Because she didn't know, and she was a female, not a man. In other words, there were no security for future for her. She couldn't look forward. If she was a male child, she would look forward, or he would look forward to an inheritance. But she had nothing but herself and the God whom she had come to know. And Mordecai, who has become a father figure unto her. Child of God, as I reflected on this message this morning, the Holy Spirit said, tell them, their environment of birth is not determinative of the outcome of their destiny. Where you are born cannot, will not, and in God's economy, become that which determines the outcome of your life. Because many of us have gotten ourselves stuck in that mindset. How I wish I came from this family. How I wish that the circumstances of my life was different than what it is when I was giving birth to. How I wish that I have brothers and sisters who understand who I am and what I carry and the greatness of God in my life. How I wish that I'm among those who see me for who God calls me to be. Esther was born in obscurity. Her upbringing was not the best. But in the economy of God, there is a queen in her. Oh, hallelujah. In the economy of God, there is a deliverer in her. In the economy of God, there is one who will change the trajectory and fulfill the word of God given to Saul that he failed to fulfill. But as Esther grew, she didn't know. She knew nothing about that destiny. She knew nothing about that vision. All she knew is that she was under the care of a man who loved her. And the Lord said to me this morning that Mordecai is symbolic of grace. He is symbolic of authority, of protection and direction. And the Lord said to me, tell them, their life vision can only begin to find fulfillment and expression if they understand how to appreciate grace in the dispensation that I bring it to them. Grace is not only in the person of Jesus Christ. Grace is not only the unmerited favor of God. Grace is not only God's ability that comes into your life and allows you and enables you to do what you could not do naturally. Grace is that man, that woman whom God puts in your life. Because through that man and that woman, your destiny and your life vision is going to find fulfillment. Somebody shout hallelujah. It wasn't coincidental that of all of family members, Esther had to live with Mordecai. Because in God's economy, Mordecai must be in the king's chamber. Mordecai must be in the king's service. Mordecai must be a respected Jewish man in captivity, yet has an honor to his life. The challenge that we have when it comes to life vision is that in the ignorance of our mind, we don't see grace and we don't appreciate it. In the ignorance of our mind, even when God brings us in the environment of grace, we don't understand the seasons that God is bringing us into and what that season leads to. Yesterday, I was speaking to one of us here, and I said to him, if the person we were talking about, and I say, if you only understood the season and the reason why God has opened that season, things wouldn't be where they are today. A challenge of the life dream for many of us is that because we don't see it, and we're not connected to the environment of grace for growth, we begin to look at our life as though it has no purpose, as though it has no meaning, as though it has no relevance. But I've come to say to you this morning, great women in this house, great men in this house, there is a Mordecai that you must find. There is a Mordecai you must find. Because without Mordecai, your life vision goes nowhere. Without your Mordecai, the very connections you need to get to where you need to go to, it's not going to happen. Now, there is one thing about God which many of you may not understand or know. If God has ordained that this is the way you come, he can never change it to this way. It's either you come this way or you stay where you are. I ordain that you don't go through the 3-day journey into Palestine, into the land of promise. You're going to go 40 days into the wilderness, go through the Red Sea, go through the desert, go through everything. And you're going to follow through as I have said it. But they said, no, we want shortcuts. We don't want to go with your way. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness until one time he asked them, aren't you tired of walking around this mountain? Are you not tired of just going around this mountain? The challenge is that for Esther, her life was let me leave and let me get married. Probably let me have children. But in the economy of God, there is something in the future that Esther have no knowledge of. But God is raising her for such a season. Your life vision is an answer to a question in the generation to come. Your life vision is an answer to certain issues in your family. Your life vision is an answer to certain issues in your community. But until you see it that way, and understand it that way, it will make no sense to you. But my prayer this morning is that you stop commonizing yourself. Stop commonizing yourself. The Bible said that Esther grew before Mordecai in honor, in respect. And I want to speak on that very quickly. And I want to speak to our young people and everyone here today. Please. There is something called honor and respect. It is a grace activator. You know, many of us pray for grace. But there are things we do that activate the grace. When you honor and you respect the Mordecai of your destiny, the grace upon his or her life is going to flow into you without you asking for it, without you praying for it. Because honor is the key that opened the floodgates of grace. Jesus taught his disciples the same. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that being taught. Therefore, don't be a young man, a young woman who lacks honor and respect. Don't be a person who lacks honor and respect. Because when you lack honor and respect, you circumvent the grace of God for your own greatness. Because what you are desiring to be can only come to you when you have passed the test of being under somebody. It does not come only by fasting and prayer. It comes by honor. It comes by respect. She grew in honor. She grew in respect. She grew in submission. She grew in obedience. Every characteristics that she needed to have, she got it in Mordecai's house. You think it was an easy thing for her to be an orphan child? I believe Mordecai had other children. I believe she didn't get the best of treatment, but she never refused the instruction of Mordecai. Read your Bible. The Bible said that when the king was in the quest for a replacement of her queen, Mordecai heard. Who heard? Who heard? Where was Esther? She was at home. But you need the hearing of Mordecai to know the seasons of your life. You need the hearing of Mordecai to know what's going on. And the Bible says he instructed her what to do. And she followed it to the very least. To the point that she found favor with the king's chamberlain. She was chosen to be queen. Of all that gathered, she was chosen to be queen. Now let me tell you this. There are two things that brings you to the place that you're desiring to be. Number one is your obedience and complete obedience to the instructions of God. That can never change. Your obedience, your complete obedience, my complete obedience to the instructions of God. Number two, your willingness to stay humble and wait for your season. Your willingness to stay humble and wait for your season. Esther knew she was beautiful, but she didn't go out there selling herself. She knew she needed a man, but she didn't go out there selling herself. She waited for her season. Every one of us have season. And when our season comes, no demon in hell can stop it. No power can stop it. In the king's chamber, she has become a queen. And she is living her life. Who will ever believe that an obscure Jewish girl who has hidden her identity for the fear of rejection after she is even the queen of the land? Who will ever believe what God is about to do in her life. I've come to announce to you today that there are still surprises awaiting your life. There are still surprises awaiting for you. I don't know who you are, but some of you are at the point where you feel like it is over for me. The devil is a liar. It is not over. It's not over. There are still surprises coming. The Bible says in chapter 4 that Haman, who was a descendant of King Og, who was the king of the Amalekites, you remember? 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel sent Saul by the instruction of the Lord and said, go destroy the Amalekites. Now, I want to say something to you, and I pray you take it because it's from God. Your greatest enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy to your life vision is your refusal to kill whatever God has called you to kill today. It's going to bite your behind very soon. It's coming after you. The day you recognize that your enemy is not the devil, but it is my stubbornness to try to tell God how he will fulfill what he has planned for me. You weren't there when he planned it, and he tells you, this is the way I want to fulfill. You say, no, I know better than you. This is the way I want to go. When the Lord said to King Saul, kill everything, he knew that this season was coming. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. That even in the midst of our stubbornness, he finds a way to rescue us. In the midst of our disobedience, he finds a way to bring grace to us. In the midst of us trying to do it our way, he finds a way to open a door of escape for us. Somebody shout hallelujah. Every Amalekite that you need to get rid of them. Stop diggy-dallying with them. Stop finding a place of comfort. Look at his words. I thought they were good for sacrifice. I thought this was good for sacrifice. I thought that bringing the king to you, it will make... Come on, let me tell you this. Let me tell you. Look at me, all of you. All of you, look at me. God does not want anything from you than yes. God does not want anything from me than my yes. Stop trying to make God feel better. Because before you were created, he was feeling better. You know, many people say, I'm not going to church. So, no. Oh, I'm not going to worship God. Okay, stay where you are. God has never lacked worship. Let me tell you this. You are not the first to worship him. Angels are not even the first to worship him. God in himself is full of worship. So whether you worship him or not, it's not going to remove anything from him. It is an honor to be welcomed into what he is doing. It is an honor for him to give you a life vision that changes not only your life, but your family and your destiny and your generation and everything that comes after you. What will you look like? That people will look into your family and say, it was in her season that this bondage was broken. It was in her season that this evil stopped in this family. She stood, she fought, she won. Today, our family used to be like this. But when she came forth, our family is no longer like that. When she came forth, everything that was negative in her family began to change. It was through her persistency that we now have this in our family. It is possible. It is possible. It is not an easy task because some of you already engage in it. And you're fighting, but the more you fight, you find resistance. That means you are on the right battle. Keep on fighting. If nobody's fighting back at you, then you're fighting. There is nothing you're fighting. A fight involves an opposition. Therefore, when you experience opposition, be glad. Therefore, James says, rejoice. He said, count it all joy. Count it what? All joy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kill
be Amalekites.
An Amalekite can be a behavior. In Saul's own life, it was his I know it all. I heard you, but I know what I want to do. I heard what you say, but I think my plan is better than yours. I'm going to keep the sheep, the goats, because they look good. They appeal to my ego. So God, you know what? I'm going to obey you, but when it comes to this one, I don't think there is anything wrong with it. Because as I look at it right now, it is not affecting my life in any way. Okay. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways. Oh, but it has no impact on me now. Oh, but do you know tomorrow? Do you know next day? Even in the issues of our physical health, there are things God is telling you to do about your health. But you say, well, it's not affecting me. Now, I'm okay. Wait, 5 years from now, you sing a different song. But that song would have been different if you obeyed today. His failure to kill the Amalekite created a problem for a generation that has nothing to do with it. What will your failure create for your family? What will your inability to stay in complete obedience do to your children as a mother, as a father, as a young person? What would it impact on your life's vision? Haman arose because he remembered what the Jews did to his great-grandfather. And the Bible says he was in a place of influence and authority. And he went to the king and said, there is a people in this province who are very stubborn. You know, when the enemy wants to attack you, he attacks you on something you value the most, your faith. He said, you know what? They don't worship any other person. Make a decree that only you should be the one to be worshipped. It sounded good to the ego of the king. And he said, I'm going to also sponsor. I will pay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the money of execution. Me, I got the money. I'm going to do it. And Mordecai heard the decree that has gone forth. Esther was in the comfort of the palace, not knowing the evil that was determined against her people. Somebody say her people. Say it one more time. Say it one more time. Now let me say this to you. Number one, write it down. When it comes to your life vision, it is not about you. Please write it down. It is not about me. It has nothing to do with me. It has much to do with my people. My people, my family, my children, my posterity, those who are coming after me, those who are looking up to me. My life vision has nothing to do with me. Therefore, when you make it about yourself, you lose the very focus of what it is. Her people. She became a queen not for herself. She became a queen because of her people and for her God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Number two, when it comes about your life vision, understand that it is going to be challenged and tried. It is going to be challenged. It's going to be tried. Time will try it. Situations will challenge it. Number three, when it comes about your life vision, there is no one qualified enough to fight for it but you. Let me say that again. When it comes to your life vision, no one is qualified enough to fight for it but you. God has qualified you to fight for it. And you're going to arise and fight for it. Because it is important that it stays alive. It is important that nothing kills it. It is important that you don't give up on it. It is important that you don't look at it and feel that it is inconsequential. Number five, when it comes to your life vision. Number four, when it comes to your life vision, you must recognize the place of prayer. You must understand the power of prayer. You must understand the power of seeking God and staying in that position until you know in your heart that no matter what happens from now going forward, I am marching into victory. And I don't care that devil that is standing on my way. I know in whom I believe. And I am persuaded that what I have committed into his hand, he is able to keep it. Somebody shout a believing hallelujah. Shout a believing hallelujah. And number five, when it comes to your life vision, be ready to die for it. I say, be ready to die for it. Be ready to die for it. Child of God, in this kingdom, death is the pathway to victory. It's not just physical death, but dying to everything, beginning with self. You know, some of us, our life vision is calling us to begin to discipline ourselves in our spending, but we are not listening. Our life vision is calling us to discipline ourselves in our eating habit. We are not listening. Our life vision is calling us to discipline ourselves in the formation of friendship and forging of friendship. We are not listening. Our life vision is calling us to come to the place of separation and seclusion. We are not listening. Our life vision is calling us to come to the place of complete surrender. We are not listening. You gotta die to self. And be willing to fight to the finish. Amen. And be a woman who gives up when the going get tough. Fight for what you believe. Fight for your children. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your generation. Be the voice of reasoning. Be the voice of truth. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because there is no place for quitters in this scheme. There is no place for quitters in this arena. Stand tall. Stand strong. Esther has been prepared, but she didn't know how powerful she was. She didn't know how powerful her life vision was. You know, for Esther, she thought her life vision is now, I'm a queen. I have servants who attend to me. I have chamberlains who listen to me. But Esther, the test of your vision is about to come. The test of your life vision is about to come, Esther. It's not just about the beauty apparels, the makeups, the hairdos. As good as those are, Esther, there is something greater than the clothes you wear and those who attend to you. It is your people. Your people. Your people. Somebody say, my people. Say it again. Who are your people? Your people are those who are tied to your loins. Jesus, help me. Your people is a generation that cannot rise until you arise. Your people is that family that will stay hopeless in darkness until you begin to shine the light. So Esther, it is good now that you're in a position to save your people. But do you know why you are in that position? So the Bible says Mordecai sends a message to Esther and says, I see what you're not seeing and I hear what you've not heard. Somebody is about to destroy your life vision, your people. And the Bible said the first thing Esther did was to have an emotional response to it. It grieved her heart. You know, that's where many of us stop. Oh, my God, help me now. Jesus, don't take me there. We hear it, we feel grieved about it, but we do nothing about it. We hear it, we see it, but it pains us. And that's where we leave it. Because for us, it is them. It's not my problem. I'm in a place of security. Where I am today, I got no pain. I got no trouble. Oh, I feel so sorry about what is happening in my family. What is happening in my sister's marriage. What is happening in my brother's marriage. I feel so bad what is happening with my cousins. I feel so bad what is happening with this. Esther. Do you know who you are? God hasn't called you and raised you to just be feeling bad about things. You are the solution. At what point are you going to see yourself for who you are? At what point will you understand that the understanding, the spiritual might, the revelation, some of you here can pray for 4 hours, 3 hours. Some of you here fast for days. Some of you here see things that nobody see, hear things that nobody hears. Some of you here have connections that nobody has. You think it is for you to just look good, feel good, and stay good. You think that's all it is? The feel good, stay good, and do nothing. She grieved her spirit. And the next thing she did, look at it. She sent clothes. Oh, I hear you people are hungry. This is food. Do you think that's what they need? The thing is clothes that is the problem. Say, go clothe Mordecai. No, you know, my prestige is at stake here. That's my uncle. How can he be naked? Go give him clothes to wear. He needs to dress up. There is no place here, as we are looking now, that Esther have said, let me seek God and know what is going on. Every response of her has come from her mind, her imagination. What she thought the solution is. Child of God, you gotta come to the place where you stop thinking what the solution is and start asking God, what is the solution? Stop thinking what it is and start asking God what it is. Mordecai was not in need of a cloth. He needed you to arise because you are the one with the solution. Nobody else. When Mordecai refused and sent a word back and said to her, this is not the issue. This is the decree of the king. And I'm calling you to arise to be the woman that God have made you to be. I'm calling you to arise to be the mother that God has made you to be. I'm calling you to arise to be the defender and the protector that God have made you to be. And if you feel that you're not going to do it, don't think that you will be saved. Because when your people die, you die. My Lord. Don't think that your position is going to secure you from what is coming. But this is the greatest question. Do you know why you are in the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you know why God have raised you and made you a woman in a generation where being a woman is becoming something that many people don't want to be? You didn't hear that. In a generation where to be a woman is something that many people don't want to be. They want to be something else. But God is looking for women, mothers, who would take pride in being a woman, being a mother. Being the womb that conceives and carries the vision and gives birth to it in the place of prayer. And fight for it until she sees it become. I remember my mother and my brother who passed. My brother who passed, you can call him 1 week one trouble or one day one trouble. Every day he has a trouble. When we were growing up, he fought everybody. I mean, he wasn't afraid of fighting. He was those that if you say you die tomorrow, you say no, tomorrow is too far. Let's just finish it today. He buys trouble. And some of us, we went free because of him. Because when somebody knew, they used to call him Sharp. Oh, that's Sharp's brother. Oh, please leave him alone. Leave him alone. I don't want his trouble. He was that person. He was unique. He was different. But my mom saw who he was. My father didn't see it at the moment. Many of us didn't see it because every trouble he made, we became recipients of the consequences. In my family in those days, if one person does something, everybody is guilty. So once the summon at 9 p.m. is made, you know that something is coming down. Whether you were part of it or not, get ready. Because my father didn't speak too much. He had a very big whooping. If he whoops, by the time he's done with everybody, we start looking at him with that eye. See you? You caused this today? He grew up like that. And there came a time when my father couldn't bear it anymore. He said, no, I can't deal with you. And my mom says, no. There is no child given to you by God that has no value and that you cannot fight for. She stood. She fought with everything in her to the point that her marriage was at the verge of breaking because of fighting for him. Fighting that he may be who God wants him to be. What am I trying to say? Mothers, there is a grace in you that we don't have. There is a strength you have that we don't have. There are ways you see things that we don't see it that way. Mothers, arise. For God has raised you in the kingdom for such a time as this. Don't sit down and feel as though you have nothing to contribute. Because in this season, the life of your people are at stake. You must arise to pursue your life vision. Whatever God has called it to be for you, arise and pursue it. Esther said, go tell Mordecai. Nobody has gone before the king for 30 days. And it is a law that if you come in without the king being gracious to stretch for his hand with the scepter, you are dead. Mordecai, you should know better. Don't send me to my death. Mordecai, I'm okay where I am. I don't want to lose this now. It's looking good. It's sounding good. It's testing good. But that's not who you are. Esther, get off that seat and do something about this. If you think you won't do it, that is something I'm going to tell you. God will raise a deliverer. God will raise enlargement for Israel. You know why? God always have an alternative. When you think that if you fail, his purposes are gone, you miss it. Adam was given the opportunity to establish the earth as God wanted it, but he didn't. Jesus came and put it in order. Esther, don't sit down. Feel good, do nothing. Arise.
And the Bible says she arose.
I pray today we will arise. That we will come out of that slumber of feeling as though being a Christian is just coming to church. We are in a generation where our faith is under siege. Everything we hold dear is under siege. As I speak today, many laws have been passed in this land to embolden everything that is anti-God. God is looking for voices. God is looking for people who will pray. It is important that you don't sit still, because the grace of change is with you. Somebody say, the grace of change is with me. Say it again. Shout it if you believe it. I pray you understand what that means. The grace of change is with you. And the Bible says Esther went into fasting. She fasted not only her, but her servants and every other person. She sent a word to Mordecai and told them, tell Mordecai, this day I'm fasting. And I'm going to go before the king. There comes a time you take the bull by the horn. You can't keep on anticipating it's going to change. There comes a time when you're going to confront what you need to confront. There comes a time when you step out in faith and pursue your life vision and don't allow anything to intimidate you. There comes a time when even the decrees of men becomes that which you look at and say, I have talked to God and I'm going into that office. I am told that people of my color, they don't welcome them. I am told that when people come there first, they look at them and they size them up and they send them up. But my case is different. Hallelujah. I have spoken to God. And I am sure that he has gone ahead of me. I'm not going to sit at the house and waiting for a result that God told me to go get. The Bible says she arose. And as she walked into the king's chamber, without being invited, favor spoke for her. Favor went ahead of her. The king, who have not stretched his hand for 30 days, suddenly something lift up the hand, and he took the scepter, and he stretched it towards Esther. Not only did he do that, he said, ask me anything. Even the half of my kingdom. So Esther, what you were afraid of, actually God was just waiting for your steps of faith. Esther, what you thought was impossible, God already resolved it. But the fear of what you think will happen has kept you bound in the things that you already have victory over. Esther, what you need to do is to stand. Take the step. Because he has gone ahead of you. Because he already raised you for this. Because this is your life vision. But I'm afraid if I'll be received. I'm afraid if they will even look at me. I'm afraid of who? I'm afraid. But he said, arise. Because at this time, favor is waiting for you. It is a dispensation of favor. Oh, somebody didn't hear what the Holy Spirit said. It is a dispensation of favor where as you step out in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, your life vision will find fulfillment. Because God has raised you for your people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout a hallelujah. Don't stay still. Don't. Arise. Arise. The King of Kings has gone ahead of you. Every human king will bow. The Lord of Glory has gone ahead of you. Every other Lord will bow. God of all grace has gone ahead of you. Nothing shall stop you. Somebody bow down your head this afternoon as you open your mouth and talk to God. That in this season, you see yourself as God sees you. In this season, strength to pursue your life vision comes upon you. In this season, You're not going to minimize yourself and stay back and say, well, I don't think I'm going to succeed. In this season, you will say to yourself, I know that God is with me. In this season, I believe. Open your mouth and talk to God. I believe that my people will live because of me. My people will find freedom because of me. Child of God, this is not a joke. It's not a joke. My people will live because of me. My people will find freedom because of me. My people. Oberengina parakasu kubeza. Sukarifarina nan satimini zeveregiza. Oh, pray for yourself this morning. That in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your life vision is going to find fulfillment. God have raised you in the kingdom for such a time as this. There are things that only you are going to correct. There are things that only you are going to bring victory to. There are things that only you can make a difference. God is telling you today, please don't sit still. I've raised you, I've positioned you, I've graced you. I have 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 graced you. I thank you, Lord. As we pray this morning, the beginning of the realization of life vision is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to make an altar call this morning for anyone who have not made that decision in this church, or anyone in whose heart that decision is shaking, and the resolve to stay on it is being challenged, and contemplation to walk away is happening. I want to call you, for the grace of God is here today, and the Lord may restore and strengthen you. And if there's anyone this morning in this house who want to have an encounter with the living Jesus to change his or her life for the glory of God, I need you to come as I pray for you. Church is not just a place to feel good. Church is a place of encounter. And each day, the Lord gives us grace to do it better and better and better. For we have been called and raised for such a time as this. And together, we will move forward. Child of God, if you're seated there, don't lie to yourself. You know where your faith in God is today. You know if it is still there. This is not just about sin. This is about where we are with God, where our hearts are, where our faith is. Where our hearts are, where our faith is. As I pray for these ones who are standing, if there be anybody else in whose heart the Holy Spirit is telling, this grace is for you, I'm asking you to come, even as we stand and pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you for your servants who are standing, your children who are standing. I want to thank you this morning because to you they come. They have not come to any man. You know where our faith is. You know what you've called us to do. You know what is that thing that is causing us to even at this moment get so weary and get so discouraged. Lord, today, you told me grace is here. I'm asking for the release of grace upon your children. Lord, for some of them, it's not a question of sinful behaviors or anything. It's a question of being pressured and the enemy bombarding them so much that sometimes they feel overwhelmed. Lord, arise
in your power. Today, let the yoke of the enemy be broken. Let them soar in the spirit. Let them arise in power and in victory to march forward and look at the enemy and say, my people will not perish while I am alive. I will fight to the finish. I will secure their destiny. I will fulfill my life vision. Now I pray, oh God, that in the name of Jesus, you breathe a fresh breath upon them. 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 In the name that is above every other name, Holy Ghost, I ask, Maninka, Nufarata, Sangye, Rebereros, Uriangada Banizama, Manukutu Kachaba, Holy Ghost, Ibagaraba, that man who the enemy is sieging around, oh God, today, Holy Ghost, I command that this siege be broken. Let it be broken. Every evil siege over your life, against your life, spirit of a living God, right now, I command it to be broken. I command it to be broken. Children, arise. Kinanaba karata. I speak to you today. Kandoboza. Odenge de baranana katababa. Nananga. Nananga radosh. Obrenge de reseverere. Lord, yes, Lord. Clothe him afresh. Clothe him afresh. As you clothed Joshua, clothe him afresh. Remove every filthy rag. Remove every filthy clothes. Cause him, Lord, to arise. And Lord, that he may go forward to fulfill his life vision. I bless your children. I decree that they move forward. I pray for their people. The lives and destiny tied to them. Lord, that as they arise, oh God, those ones will arise. They will arise. They will arise. They will arise. Restore their faith in you. Quicken their faith in you. Lord, that today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, women are symbolic of birth. Let a new thing be birthed in them. Let a new grace be birthed in them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless them with the blessings of this house. And I decree that they move forward. In Ikana Vaniko to Shifarida Baba, Satan, you will no longer stop them. In the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe in church, I believe in amen. Celebrate Jesus this afternoon. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate Jesus, celebrate Jesus, celebrate Jesus, celebrate Jesus. Church, celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Amen.